Okay. Full house tonight. I apologize for the delay, but we're all set. We're ready to go. So if we could go ahead and call the meeting to order, I would like to state that all agenda items and supporting documentation is available for review in the public arena if you're unable to get copies this evening.
Commissioner Madigan?
Here.
Commissioner Geary?
Here.
Commissioner Anderson?
Here.
Commissioner Blackburn?
Here.
Commissioner Watches?
Here.
Supervisor Perez?
Okay. All right. On to item B, approval of summary proceedings. B1 is the regular meeting of March 18th meeting. Then we have item 2, which is the January 21st regular meeting that was approved with amendments to change from the year 2014 to 2015. Item 3, February 18th, 2015 regular meeting, approved with amendments to change the year from 2014 to 2015. So if I can have a motion.
Any question?
Second?
Second.
Any discussion? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right, so all summaries of proceedings are approved. All right, item C is the consent agenda.
I'm sorry, did you approve last month at the same time? I thought you were just doing all of them.
No, we had them all.
Oh, because there are some corrections on last month.
All right, okay, so they need to back up?
All right, I thought you were doing all of them. Okay,
yes. All right.
On the second page under consent agenda, I know we're not putting a lot of content in here, but it might be worthwhile to put that Apollo subcommittee was scheduled to meet with Hank Young, and that at that time it was also decided that the dangerous dog ordinance discussion was going to be on this month's agenda. However, it's not.
Did you get that, Amber?
I did.
Okay. I got a copy for you here.
Okay.
All right. And then on the last page, again, it's just a content issue, but under friends, I thought it'd be nice to say that one event is scheduled for 418.
Okay.
Okay.
Any other changes or corrections? Any other changes or corrections to the March 18th?
I just have one that I'm going to make. Maggie was listed as staff that was here. She was not here last month.
All right. Any other changes or corrections? All right. Shall we try this again? All right. So if I could again have a motion to approve item 1 with changes, item 2 is stated, and item 3 is stated. Okay, so I
made that motion.
All right, do I have a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. On to item C, consent agenda. Okay. These agenda items before the Animal Control Commission may be acted upon with one motion if no member of the commission or audience wishes to comment or ask questions. Oh, okay. All right. And before we get started, if I could just ask everybody to please put your phones on off or silent and respectful of the meeting going on. Let's not have a lot of chit-chat going on that disrupts and disturbs people that around you that might be wanting to hear what's going on or get involved. All right, so item 1, the correspondence filed with commission, items 1A and 1B.
I would like to pull them.
Both of them? All righty. So we will go ahead and remove them and discuss them now? All right. Okay. Since you pulled them, we'll start with you, Commissioner.
Well, I was just wondering, I think Nick followed up on this. So do we have any feedback on that?
So in regards to the two emails that were received, yeah, I suppose I should. I was going to try and speak as loud as I could.
So in response to the two emails that were received, we, as a department, and myself included, have launched an investigation into the emails. I did pay the Lake Isabella shelter an unannounced visit yesterday, and I began an investigation. It is an ongoing investigation. And on the advice of counsel, it is also an ongoing personnel matter that I can't comment on at this time.
Understandable.
Could you just mention for the attendees what the email said, or is that confidential also?
That's public property.
I believe the emails were both in regards to the same type of accusation. It was a specific accusation from two different folks who had paid a visit to the Lake Isabella or the Kern River Valley Animal Shelter. I believe it was on February 17th of this year, and were shocked and horrified at some of the things that they saw. The accusation was that one of the staff members at the Lake Isabella or Kern River Valley Animal Shelter was using a taser to audibly keep the animals from acting out, as well as some notes of what they saw as physical abuses of the animals as well.
Can you please state your name?
Sure. This is Nick Cullen, Interim Director of Kern County Animal Services.
Thank you. Gary, get to be controller of the mic.
Okay, if I could then, any further discussion on this?
Okay. Will we get follow-up or...
when the time's right.
Everybody's looking at me. Jerry Bradley, Deputy County Council. At this point in time, this is a personnel matter. So whether or not you get follow-up is questionable.
Okay. All right. Then if I can have a motion to receive and file.
I make a motion.
Second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Yeah.
All right. Okay, next is public presentations. This portion of the meeting is reserved for persons to address the commission on any matter not on this agenda, but under the jurisdiction of the commission. Commissioners may respond briefly to statements made or questions posed. They may ask a question for clarification, make a referral to staff for factual information, or request staff to report back to the commission at a later date. Also, the commission may act to direct the staff to place a matter of business on a future agenda. Please state your name and address for the record before making your presentation. Speakers will be limited to 2 minutes. So what I will do, let's place the microphone over here. Anybody that wants to make participate in this will need to come up to the podium, give us your name and your address, and then you'll have 2 minutes to speak. So we'll start on the first table. Sue?
Sue Bennett, Kern Humane Society. It's important that I talk to everybody today. Kern Humane Society is in business. If you get a telephone call that says, oh, Kern Humane Society is out of business, their phone's not working, it's been disconnected, yes, the phone has been disconnected. The long story is that we had a 20-year contract with a cheap telephone company. They got bought out by another telephone company. They got bought out by another telephone company. And somewhere in that, our number was not renewed. And we are still trying to get our old number back. So we don't know. Hopefully within the next week or so, we will get our old number back. Meanwhile, I have my cards. Anybody who feels that they need to refer someone to Kern Humane Society, have them contact me. My phone number gets answered, if not immediately, because I'm driving within half an hour or 40 minutes of the time that people put in a call to me. Kern Humane Society does do spay-neuter vouchers. We do them on the first Saturday of every month. We call that our coupon day. And we give them out during the week when we're open. The first Saturday of this month, we gave out 175 coupons to something like 105 people. this week, today I was writing bills, and I paid 148 vouchers that have been turned in, and that's the middle of the month. So, yeah, we're still spending money, and other people make it, I give it away. That's it.
Sue, do you want to give us your phone number so that people know the cards?
Sorry. My phone number is public. Sue Bennett, B-E-N-N-E-T-T. Phone number is 661-330-2855.
330-2855.
Yeah, Nick, you have it.
I check.
All right, ready to back. Sorry, I'm ready to back. We're still going through. Okay, front table. Nothing. Next. Judy, your table. Liz, no ma'am. Okay, down the row. Third table. Anybody have any comments? No. Fourth table. Looks like all volunteers back there. Next table. Sure? Nope. Okay. Back there?
Yeah, no. Yeah, me too.
All right, well, let's get the gal in the dark hair in the corner. You're going to jump? All right.
Yes. You're closer.
Get started. And I'm fast. Just a little update, Joan Payton, sorry. I've been working with Melissa from the Mojave Shelter, teaching her how to groom because they don't have anybody up there. And so I talked to Miss Friends, and I just recently ordered a bunch of equipment for her so that now the animals in Mojave that are in desperate need can get taken care of also.
So, excellent. Thank you.
Moving along.
Next.
PO Box 10418, Bakersfield, California 93389. First of all, I would like to thank Mr. Poland, Commissioner Madigan, and Commissioner Perry for meeting with my mother and I to discuss improvements that can be made to the California Code of Ordinances with regards to potentially dangerous, and vicious animals. Tonight, I would like to propose two changes that would help the safety of the community and animals, as well as justify funds been to obtain the needed technology in order to create a database documenting infractions, providing that an officer responds in a crisis situation. These include modeling ordinance code 7.08292, which is the removal of designation of potentially dangerous animal after ordinance code 7.08.293, which is the permanent designation of dangerous or vicious animal. The first code states that an animal may, but is not required to be removed from the list of potentially dangerous dogs prior to the expiration of the 36-month period, while the second states that the designation of an animal as dangerous or vicious shall remain permanently on the list of dangerous and vicious animals. For the safety of the community, for the safety of the community and animals, there should be no removal of the potentially dangerous order because this will allow for infractions to start over after a certain period of time. As outlined in Ordinance Code 7.08270, there are certain criteria that need to be met in order for an animal to be labeled as either potentially dangerous, or vicious. These include but are not limited to an animal that is engaged in any behavior that required a defensive action by persons to prevent bodily injury or the animal has, when unprovoked on two separate occasions within the prior 36-month period, killed, seriously bitten, inflicted injury, or otherwise caused injury attacking a domestic animal off the property of the owner. Again, to protect the safety of the community and animals, this label should be implemented after the first incidents of killing an animal due to the fact that Part 1A1 of the above ordinance code states that in determining whether or not an animal is potentially dangerous or dangerous, the director may also be guided by whether the animal has bitten any person or other animal, damaged property, or attempted to threaten to do so. Additionally, as outlined by Part A3, a label can be applied when an animal is a general menace to the public. Therefore, an order should be based on multiple reports of infractions that are outlined in the ordinance. In trying to understand the code of ordinances, it seems like there is much room left for interpretation. It is my recommendation and hope that the Animal Control Commission will take into consideration the following proposals presented tonight, which is creating a permanent label of potentially dangerous animal and an accumulation of infractions rather than starting over after a certain period of time, requiring a dangerous animal label after the first infraction of killing another animal. I apologize for not having printed handouts, but I will send this as an email to the commission. Thank you for your time.
All right. Thank you.
Two comments on the proposal. First, the county ordinance 7.08.292 is in compliance with Food and Agricultural Code 31644, which requires the removal of the potentially dangerous designation after 36 months. The county is unable to change that requirement. The county ordinance 7.08.293, which is a permanent designation, only applies to a designation of a dangerous dog. There's a distinction between the two. The first applies to potentially dangerous, which is a less severe series of incidents. The second applies to the dangerous designation. That can be made permanent.
Thank you. All right. So we can just take that under advisement, correct?
Correct.
Janice, it was supposed to be on the agenda, and my apologies to Amber. I didn't respond to her earlier email. Very well. I'm looking all over. Her earlier email to review the draft of the agenda. Had I done that, I would have notified you that it was supposed to be on here. But we had decided last month that we were going to put this topic at least for discussion.
Right. Well, it didn't make it, and she has a presentation that she needs to provide us. That she said she was going to email to all of us.
Right.
If you want to put it on for next month,
I would be happy to maybe the two of us could maintain the subcommittee that we created.
Sure.
And review it between now and then and have a presentation.
Okay. So then I think if we're going to make you guys an official subcommittee, we have to make a motion. Okay, so let's start there.
Okay.
If I can have a motion that Commissioner Geary and Commissioner Madigan are the subcommittee for exploring the dangerous dog ordinance. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Can we make the motion or second it? Or does it have to be those guys?
Yes.
Oh, I'll make a motion.
Okay. All right. And do I have a second?
Yes.
It's okay.
It's okay to nominate yourself.
These two would jump at the chance to make them do something more.
All in favor?
That's not funny.
All in favor? Any opposed? Okay, so we have an official subcommittee, number one.
And we do we want to put that on next month's agenda then as well? Okay.
Yes.
Madam Chairman, you probably should state the purpose of the sub-agenda for the record, or the subcommittee for the record.
Okay, the purpose would then be
to review the potentially dangerous and vicious dog ordinance.
The designation.
The sections of the ordinance that address those.
Which the concern at this point is that we're going to lose.
I kind of made a list, but she's got a handful of
things. Okay, then I'm going to summarize this.
Reviewing, that's fine.
Because okay. We don't want to get involved in reviewing the entire thing.
Right, exactly.
Specifically.
Not really.
No. 4 years of the other.
Yeah, trust me.
We've
already had this conversation.
Cuban.
Okay, let's maintain some order here. Okay, so do you want to hone it down to the concerns?
Actually, it seems to surround the potentially dangerous. Mm-hmm. Oh, the concern seems to surround that, don't you think?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's right. How about we address the items
that were stated this evening
that are being presented
okay.
by the community.
One which has already been addressed, correct?
So that takes us down to just one?
The potentially dangerous after 3 months? Is that, or 36
months?
Yes,
36 months, yeah. And we cannot change that.
Right. Okay. So that's a moot point.
Well, it still ought to be part of the subcommittee's recommendation.
Mm-hmm. Right. Okay. Right.
I mean, you can't just blow it off.
Okay.
Okay.
Please.
Do we need to restate this?
Yes, you need to be specific.
Okay. I make a motion that Commissioner Gary and I form a subcommittee to address the issues summarized by the Haney family, which address issues related to dangerous, potentially dangerous, and vicious dog ordinances as they exist right now.
Okay.
Does that sound good?
That works.
Okay.
All right. We good to move on?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, thank you. All right. Joan, your table. Anybody back there? Next table. Bob's table. All right, we got those in the way back. Anybody there need to comment on anything? Cool. Thank you. All right. Public presentations are now closed. On to E, staff announcements and reports. We have the director's monthly report.
Nate Coleman, interim director of Kern County Animal Services. Proud of visiting the Bakersfield. I'd like to highlight just a few things on the monthly report for March of 2015, and then a few things I'd like to add. I'd like to highlight that the fourth annual Find Your Lucky Charm adoption event was held at all three shelters to encourage the public to come out and support the shelter and adopt a new best friend. 36 animals were adopted during the event, including 6 cats and 30 dogs. Each adoption for dogs and cats was reduced to just $17 in honor of St. Patrick's Day. Also, the department's fourth annual Cheers for Chihuahuas adoption program, which, by the way, we were very loose in the phrase Chihuahua. Seeks to encourage adoption of the many chihuahuas that come through the doors each month, and it does highlight the need for adoptive homes. Adoption fees for chihuahuas were reduced to just $25, and this year's month-long promo resulted in 62 chihuahuas buying new forever homes, as well as other breeds. Classified chihuahuas. The rescue team focused on coordinating animals for 3 flights during the month of March, together working with the medical team, the rescue team. We sent a total of 152 animals on 3 flights to Washington and Idaho. Rescue partners also saved an additional 141 animals for a grand total of 293 animals saved through rescue in the month of March. It's important to remember that the flights that are so beneficial to all animal shelters in the county, the city of Bakersfield Animal Shelter and the other satellite shelters, a lot goes into preparing the animals for those flights. I just wanted to mention that. These aren't just animals that we have in a kennel we put on a plane. This is staff that has to separate the animals from the general population, medical staff that has to medically check each and every animal. There's a lot that goes into it, and it's truly a collaborative effort for these flights and the rescue program itself, but more importantly, the flights. And I just wanted to highlight that. Also, our TNR program is still going strong. Probably by now, we've eclipsed the 3,000 number since we first started the TNR program. I believe that was in July of 2013. 2,932 through the end of March, but like I said, we're probably just about to eclipse 3,000 total cats that were spayed and neutered through the TNR program since the beginning of the program. Also, department staff and volunteers participated in the Camelot Park Easter Bunny Trail event with an information booth and adoptable pets. Thanks to the hard work of staff and volunteers, 4 dogs found their forever home at the event. I highlighted the off-site adoption events because something interesting is happening. We are really focusing our attention on some off-site adoption events and places that we can go to present animal services in the best light and just remind folks that we have perfectly good animals available for adoption. And the thing that's coming out of that is that we have other agencies that maybe we've never worked with before requesting for us to bring out adoptable animals at their facilities or at their events. And I think that's sort of some of the goal that we wanted with the offsite adoption program, is to start people getting, hey, you know, come to our event and bring out adoptable animals. And it's working. And so the success we had in placing animals only continues the success in the future of placing animals through offsite adoption events. A few things I'd also like to mention. You know, we have a whole branch of animal services that isn't really spoken a lot about in the Animal Control Commission meetings, and that's our field services team. There are 17 very much dedicated individuals that are responsible for enforcing humane laws and returning animals back to their owner, and they do really great work. And something very interesting and very positive that came out this morning, we, myself and our two senior animal control officers, Officer Eirik and Officer Wood, we had a very good meeting with the Kern County Sheriff's Department, Child Protective Services, the Alliance Against Family Violence, as well as code enforcement. The Sheriff's Department has a sheriff's substation in East Bakersfield. It's on Flower Street, right at the corner of Flower and Virginia, I believe. It is a substation there that exists. It's been there for about 7 years or so. It's not used too much, but the Sheriff's Department had a very good idea. East Bakersfield is a very difficult area for just about any enforcement agency. Animal Services is no different. If anybody lives or travels through East Bakersfield, you know it's a rough area for stray dogs, loose dogs, vicious dogs. It's also a busy area for the Sheriff's Department. It is also a busy area for code enforcement. It is also a busy area for child support services or child protective services. So the Sheriff's Department had a wonderful idea to invite other agencies to have an office in the Sheriff's substation so that we can work towards manning an office in the substation as often as we can with an animal control officer to stay there for possibly an hour a day, maybe once a week, so that the general public that can make it through to that substation has questions about whatever they may have questions about, whether it be animal services or child protective services or sheriff's department. There is somebody physically there to answer those questions. And I think that's an awesome collaboration, and it made me proud to be a part of it, and we're definitely moving forward with it. We're going to staff it as often as we can with an officer so that we can answer questions and address concerns and do what we're all paid to do to assist the public. I'll keep everybody apprised in that situation as it comes at more of a habit. Also, this morning, we, for the very first time, we had a demonstration rolled out for our officers to have our chameleon software installed in their vehicles. I will tell you that as an officer, it's very difficult to get to a remote location, especially sometimes after hours. Our dispatch system only operates from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. Our officers work beyond those hours. So if you can imagine, if you're an officer and you roll up to a home that maybe doesn't look like it's the safest area, you want to know, has there been any history here? Have we been here before? Is this a dangerous property? And without access to our software, it's very difficult for the officer to do so. A lot of times they're flying blind. So this system of giving the animal control officers connectivity in their vehicles with some sort of laptop system so that they can pull up to a residence and check history at that residence, check licenses at that residence, enter calls, enter complete calls. It cuts down on the amount of traffic on the radio. It increases the safety for the officer. It increases the public's response, and it increases the amount of support we can give the public when we roll to a resident. So this morning we had our first demo installed in one of our trucks, and for about the next 30 days we're going to be running demos throughout the city of Bakersfield, or the metro area of Bakersfield. We're going to move to Mojave, East Kern, we're going to do Kern River Valley. We have to get an idea of how the system works and all throughout the areas, and hopefully within the next 60 to 90 days all of our trucks will be outfitted with the systems in their vehicles so that they can provide the utmost service to the public. So I think that's a great thing for our staff. Also, I'm kind of shotgunning here. We made some changes to our PEET team. Our PEET team is PEET. That's the Public Education and Enforcement Team. Our PEET team consists of two staff members, and those two staff members, they literally go door-to-door in areas that we sometimes determine are in need, or if we have an event in that area, they'll go door-to-door and canvas and provide information for educational purposes, educational materials. But the other thing is we bring up the issue of licensing. You know, if there's folks that we come across that do not have licensing, we address that at that time. Our PEET team has probably had more more emphasis put on it in the past year than ever before, but we're really focusing on it here lately. And we made a decision about 6 weeks ago. It's a personnel decision that we made, but we basically put a dedicated employee that oversees the PEAT program. When we did that, we saw an immediate result, an increase in licensing compliance by $6,000 in 1 month over the previous month. In addition to that, it's also the most licensing fees we've taken in the previous 10 months. So just to go and show, you know, our department and what we're allowed to do for the animals, what we're allowed to do to the public, a lot of the times depends on, you know, the county budget and how that's looking. And the more revenue we can generate through licensing, the better off the department is, better off the animals are. So, you know, we're trying to fix the PEAT team so that they're operating on all cylinders and that there's someone that's in a lead role that's going to make sure that we keep getting results the way we have been for about the past 6 weeks. And also I wanted to say thank you, Commissioner Madigan, who was so gracious to help us out. She came out and did a little one-on-one with our shelter supervisor, and the goal is to improve the quality of the intake photos that we take of the animals. So she came out and got an idea of how our operation works, where we take pictures. She made some really good recommendations, and she's also going to assist and actually give a training, I think, next week, next Wednesday.
No, it's the Sunday afternoon.
Sunday afternoon. So okay. she's going to come down, and she's going to give a training about how to take a good intake photo and some things that our staff maybe didn't know before. So I just want to say thank you, Commissioner Madigan, for that. And I will mention a few other things. I know I'm getting a little long-winded here, but back in, I believe it was November, and Ms. Keogh, you can correct me if I was wrong on my time, but...
And you know, I will.
We started a conversation about, because we've been running a trap, neuter, release program, like I said, since July of 2013, we really wanted to know how the public feels about trap, neuter, release. And in a larger concern, probably how they feel about spay neuter in general, but mostly the trap neuter release program, how the general public feels about that. And the reason why we wanted to do that is we wanted to make the best use of our resources. We have a PEAT team that I just spoke about, the public education and enforcement team, and a lot of times we're sending them out to an area. We don't want to be sending them to an area that's not in need. So we wanted to know those areas in the county that maybe feel trap neuter release is not the way to proceed with stray and feral cats. So we wanted to put together a survey, which was a little bit of a daunting task before Ms. Keogh came on board. And luckily enough, we were also coincidentally contacted by Cal State Bakersfield, who had several students who were in a statistics class, I believe, and they were looking for a project.
Nice.
So we jumped on board with that. Thanks to the assistance from Ms. Keogh. And by the way, when I say assistance, that's a very loose term because Liz did just about 99% of the work outside of the students. So we're still kind of manipulating some of the data just to make use of it because it's very raw data. But it was a really eye-opening experience for me, and I know that for some of the staff, to see how the public feels about the programs that we offer. And as we delve into those numbers a little bit more, we're going to be able to use those numbers to make best use of our resources. And I think it says a lot about the department, about the public, and about the volunteers as well. Last but not least, this is National Volunteer Week. As you see, there's a lot of folks in the audience. And Jeff, I'm not trying to steal your thunder here. All the folks in the green shirts, and even some without the green shirts, these are folks that take their time out of their daily business, and they come down to the animal shelter, and they care for the animals that are in our care, and they may care for them for a day, or 2 days, or a week, or 2 weeks, but they are making a difference in the lives of the animals that we care for. I can't express to you how much I appreciate folks that come down and spend their time caring for animals for the amount of time that you folks do. I can tell you that it always personally makes me feel like we're all doing a good job when I see you all there with your green shirt, even without your green shirts. But it just makes me know that we're doing something good and we're working towards a common goal when I see folks like yourselves come on board and spend your time taking care of the animals. So it gets me a little choked up. But that's the end of my director's report. Again, thank you for all the volunteers being here today.
Thank you.
And with that, I'm going to ask our volunteer coordinator, Jeff George, to come up and say a few words.
Okay.
Yeah.
So make sure. Good evening, commissioners. This is a volunteer report for the month of March. Just to give you an idea, we are now up to 112 volunteers. That is currently active of 87 volunteers, and I have about 25 that are considered inactive right now for some reason, family, medical leave, educational, something in that capacity. So we do have over 100 volunteers that are on our list. In the month of March, we were able to... the volunteer provided over 853 hours in the shelter, which is a great amount. We keep on growing every month. This month also is kind of unique because our total number of hours with all programs was 1,700 hours. 1,734 hours was the total. Now, when you look at that, we had 853 volunteer hours. The other part of that is we had work release that became a 7-day-a-week program at our shelter. And they came in and helped us out with over 700 hours of service to the shelter in various capacities. We continue with our ROC program from the Kern High School District with 143 hours. We had a couple of one-day volunteers that came out and helped us out for 8 hours. And then we also had our EPP, our Welfare to Work Group, that came out and helped us with 21 hours in the month of March. So, again, our total number of hours for the month of March was 1,734 hours, and that equaled out to be a savings or a value back to the shelter of $42,811. I was told last month that there was a question in regards to the number of hours that was projected or received last year versus this year. And to just give you an idea, in March of 2014, we had, I didn't get the number of actual volunteers, but we had 221 hours given by volunteers. And so we can see there was over 800 this March, a difference of 632 hours in just 1 year. And that's, by the volunteers here. In 2014, we had a total of 8,987 hours. And that came back as a value back to the shelter of $222,428.
Wow.
So that's an unbelievable number that is saving our budget and also helping out our staff and being able to provide some services to the animals. Sometimes our staff may not get to 100%, so our volunteers are really important. And as Director Cullen mentioned, this is National Volunteer Week. Started on Sunday, ends this Saturday. And if I could have all the volunteers please stand up, I'd like to recognize you today. Obviously, this is an 87, but it's a great amount that's here just to kind of show you the response that we get when I ask and ask for volunteers that then come out to a meeting above and beyond what they do at the shelter, which is great. Thank you so much for coming out tonight. Our volunteers have become a very, very important facet in the shelter, and they help assist the staff every day. Our program is very proud to have the volunteers working in the puppy room, the cat rooms. They help with our dishes and keep our laundry maintained by folding and making sure they're put away and ready and stocked in the different rooms also. The volunteers, and Director Cullen made a great point about how they help out the animals. I look at it as that the volunteers are helping the voiceless. Because animals can't talk, so our volunteers are helping them. And hopefully with their dedication and their vision, they see some things that need to be done, and they take care of it for our animals. We also have a couple of key positions that have been created over the time I've been here. I have three what we call as volunteer ambassadors. I have one of them here tonight, and the volunteer ambassador program was created just this year, in which I've worked with three volunteers to essentially become trainers for me. With 100 volunteers, it's very hard to keep on track with every single volunteer. And so what I've done is I've tabbed these volunteers to be able to work with brand new ones in making sure that they get into the puppy rooms, they get into the cat rooms, and they know exactly what we're trying to accomplish by making sure we're treating all the animals the same way and they're all doing the same thing. So it's a really great bunch of consistency by every volunteer doing the same thing. We also have 9 volunteer groomers that come in randomly throughout the month. We have 2 volunteers that work with horses. We have 12 dog walkers as part of the socialization program. So I have 12 members that take our dogs out daily. Well, not every day, but I mean, they go out daily and they walk the dogs and take them to our play yard. And then I also have 1 person that helps with admin and licensing throughout the shelter and different responsibilities. I currently have 1 volunteer who cannot be here tonight that has been with us just about a year, it'd be a year in June, and she has amassed over 400 hours in our shelter. I wish Rhonda Montgomery could have been here today, but she couldn't, and I wanted to make sure she was recognized tonight. I also have 3 volunteers that are over 200 hours that have been here, and 6 of them, 6 more volunteers that have been here at least 100 hours in our shelter. And it's not taken away from any of the volunteers that haven't made one of those goals, but a lot of the volunteers can give what they can give, and we take anything we can have and what they can give to us, whether it's 2 hours a week or 10 hours a week in some cases with some of the volunteers. A couple of things I'm looking forward to trying to bring forth this next year is I would like to really get some of our volunteers to assist our staff, because just like any other business, there's days that we have some of our staff members or multiple staff members that end up being out sick, and so we're short-staffed. I'd like to be able to get some of these volunteers that really want to be in their kennels to start helping our staff in the kennels. And then something that our previous director really wanted to get rolling, and it kind of sat on my back burner for a little bit, and I really like to get this moving, is working with some of our volunteers in getting a lost pet program off the ground and trying to reunite more animals that are lost using the newspaper, Craigslist, Facebook, whatever we need to do. Get more animals back to their homes, hopefully, and that would be a great thing to happen. I've asked a couple of volunteers tonight to come up and just kind of give you a little bit of a rundown of why they come to the shelter and why they're here. And so I'd like to call up one of my volunteer ambassadors first. Her name is Trish Lamas. And then she would follow up with Crystal Struckoff to kind of just give you an idea of what they do and why they're here.
Good evening.
Good evening.
My name is Trisha Lamas, and I live here in Bakersfield.
Speak into the microphone. Bring it here.
Will you spell your last name for me, too, so I don't spell it wrong?
L-A-M-A-S. Thank you. I'm a volunteer trainer for our county animal shelter, and I began my volunteer adventure last July. During a season in my life of great changes, and found myself with a lot of time on my hands and needing to be needed. I'm a mother of 5, and I have 3 grandkids. For 20 years, I enjoyed being a homemaker, a mother, and I homeschooled my 2 youngest daughters for 8 years. And also for 10 of those years, the last 10 years, have been a co-owner of a salon here in town. And we called it our family business, so I helped run the business as well. In our home, we always had animals, and we loved them, and they were our fur babies. It wasn't a difficult decision to make when my sister Rhonda, whom Jeff mentioned and honored tonight, suggested I join her in the shelter as a volunteer. I give her the credit, and she regretfully could not make it here tonight. But know that she is a volunteer trainer, as is Debbie. I don't know if Debbie's here tonight.
No.
Okay. Our jobs are to assist Jeff, our volunteer director, in training new volunteers and doing any retraining of our existing ones on cleaning, current cleaning procedures that include dishwashing, folding linen, cleaning the puppy and cat kennels, restocking, feeding, bathing, and also reporting any sicknesses. I've learned so much in the last few months through the training program, being able to visually see a puppy or a dog and know that something's just not right. If you're a mom or if you have small siblings and you know something's just not right, you just know. And with these precious fur babies, they don't have a voice. So we have to speak up for them. Let's see. We report any sickness to our medical staff along with the training. We do all of the various jobs. I don't look like this when I go in. I don't.
Especially when you come out.
Yeah. We are cleaning. Well, I'm mostly in the puppy room. I am severely allergic to cats, so I just walk by the room. Anyway, but yeah, it's cleaning poopy puppies in their kennels and socializing with them and catching sicknesses. And I love it. I went from the salon world to beauty to puppies. And I would much rather be with our puppies.
It's Crystal Strachan.
So hello, my name is Crystal Struckoff. I've been volunteering at Kern County Animal Services for almost a year. It'll be 1 year in June, and my first shift was June 18th. I put that in my calendar. I'm one of those people that have to write down everything. So, moving on. A majority of my volunteering time has been put forth in the Wednesday night clinics, where we invite people to come out, renew their license, get their vaccinations, doing rabies, DHPP. We even do the cats at a low cost. We also give out vouchers for spay neuter. So I spend most of my time doing that. The volunteers that do help me, we do various jobs. We, like me, we drop the vaccines. Sorry, I'm nervous.
A lot of people. You're my friends, no worries.
So we drop vaccines, we keep people in line, the crowd. In the past month, we've had a lot of people come out, probably thanks to Pete. So we help control people in line, we pass out the paperwork so that they, when they do get to come pay, we can get them through faster. We control the doors so there's not a lot of people going in there. There's not a huge mass of people just standing behind the desk. And you have to decide which one's paying and which one's not. So we control the doors, we control the gates, we make people get in lines, and hopefully get the animals through faster. We also answer questions and help where there's needed. Picking up poop, washing down vomit, you know, just whatever happens to come up for help. It happens. As volunteers, we've all learned to deal with it. We all, whatever, at this point, we're just like, anyway. So I work volunteering. I've also worked other areas, such as cleaning the puppies or cleaning the cat room, folding the linens, doing the dishes, helping out randomly, transporting pets from one area to a different area. I've even fostered one. And let me tell you, it was hard getting that puppy. Very difficult. She was so sweet. So why do I do this? Why do I put myself through the trouble of volunteering and giving up puppies? And it's because, in short, it's my happy place.
being with those dogs and cats. It's my happy place. And I'll just pass it off.
One final note, well, first of all, thank you, Tricia and Crystal, for doing this. And one final note, I just wanted to say a thank you that to a staff member who could not be here because she works on Wednesday nights. The staff member recently left our ranks and became a staff member for our shelter. Her name is Clarissa Little, and she gave us over 200 hours of her time prior to becoming a staff member. And I even asked like 2 weeks ago, hey, you work on Wednesdays? Because I was hoping she'd come on and be here, but she does work on Wednesdays. But I want to make sure that she got recognized for her service to the shelter also. Any questions?
Thank you. I know Commissioner Blackburn has some questions.
I don't have any questions.
Oh, you don't have any questions? Oh, you don't? Oh, okay. I thought you had stuff.
No, I've got some stuff, but not questions.
Okay, all right. Okay.
You still want to...
I have
questions?
Regarding the report, but not for Jeff.
Okay, anybody for Jeff while he's up there?
Nope.
I just want to say thank you. You know, I know it's been a long road for all of us. And we are really starting to see the culmination of our efforts come together. You know, your arrival, Nick taking over, things just seem to be falling into place. And I want to thank you for all your efforts, and Nick for the fantastic job he's doing, and all of the volunteers. We really appreciate you being there to help these wonderful people to take care of the animals in our community. So I want to, again, thank all of you.
You want me to?
Okay. All right. I guess there may be some questions for Nick, is the impression I'm getting.
I don't know if this will be strong ways on you, Sue.
You'll yell? Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, you probably
should. All right. We'll start at this end.
Okay. If I can make a quick announcement.
Absolutely.
I'll try to speak loud. So I just wanted to—I forgot to say this during the director's report, but actually Ms. Keogh brought to my attention, I think on Thursday or Friday, that there was some discrepancies with the numbers in the report.
Oh, that's right.
That you guys got in your packet.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yes. So if you picked up one tonight, it's from the table.
It's correct.
It's correct.
Okay.
If
perfect.
You got in your packet, that's the old one.
All right.
So okay. The ones that are here today are corrected.
Perfect.
The ones that were emailed and were posted, I think, on Friday,
correct.
Those were inaccurate. And it was a typographical mistake. What happens is it's a report that prints, and it lists each different type of animal, rodent, horse, chicken, all the different types of animals. So we go in, we combine those all to other. So it was a mathematical error. Just wanted to make sure everybody was aware.
Thank you. And thanks for catching it, Liz.
More than welcome.
Okay.
I just have a couple of quick questions. I know we've talked about this at length when the city and county split, but refresh my memory. I know you take in city animals. Under what circumstances does that happen?
So, the circumstances when we take a city animal, I will say that we've learned a lot since the city and county relationship disbanded, but the way we've come to right now, and we handle each situation delicately. We know that the city of Bakersfield Animal Shelter is closed Sundays and Mondays. So it's very difficult when we have people show up on a Monday, because we can't exactly tell them to go and take the animal to the city shelter because we're closed. So when we do make concessions to accept an animal from a city resident, 99% of the time it's going to be on a Monday. The overwhelming majority of the time, it is for an animal that is sick or injured. Now, 7 days or 6 days a week when we're open, and the way my previous position, for those of us in the over, was a shelter supervisor, so I managed the shelter before I directed the agency. But my outlook was always, I don't care the jurisdiction of a person that's bringing in an injured animal or a sick animal. I'm going to accept the animal either way. I'm not going to send them away. So that's kind of the way that we handle that. If it's not a sick or injured animal and it's in on a Monday, to be honest with you, it's a case-by-case basis. And unfortunately, a lot of times the squeaky wheel gets the grease. So there are times when people will come in and just be absolutely adamant that we take the animal. And we do occasionally make a concession and take the animal. But the overwhelming majority of the ones, like I said, are on a Monday when the city's animal shelter is closed. And then the remaining percentages are sick and injured or two young animals that we make that
so you
decision.
So notice they're all the youth rate's really high with the ones that you take it from the city. That's probably because
it's sick. Yeah, they're usually sick or injured.
Okay. And then the other quick question, I wrote it down because I can't remember anything. Oh, on the table that talks about the different euthanasia types, am I correct in assuming that the category humane, non-adoptable, which is the highest category, of course, is that the just couldn't find a home for them kind of category?
That would be correct. So those are animals that they're not sick, they're not injured, we just can't find a placement for them.
So when we become a no-kill shelter, that category will disappear.
Say that again.
When we become a no-kill shelter, okay.
Correct.
I just want to make sure I mentioned that. Okay.
Debbie's got a question. You look like
that. I have a question I was going to ask a minute ago. Talking about the system that's in one of the field officers' truck. Is it called Chameleon? Is that what you call it?
Well, our shelter management software is okay. Called Chameleon.
Okay.
Yes.
In addition to giving them the data that they need, does it also give them directions to the place they need to go?
Each one of our field units has GPS units and Garmin units. Yes. They'd like better ones, but they do have Garmin units. They do work well, and we've had them since I was an officer.
Okay. That was the question.
Okay.
Do you have any questions?
My question I've asked before, have we included our counts from over on Eastern side yet in these figures?
Included? So the Mojave and the...
Over, like, because you have a contract with the Riverfront Shelter, so have we included what they do for the county yet? Is that included in these figures?
The Ridgecrest numbers are not included in those numbers.
I've been trying to get it for a while, but it's never happened.
I wasn't aware of that. We can work on that. I mean, that might be something that I have to talk to Mary with Ridgecrest about and see if she can provide me those numbers, because
yeah.
We don't have access to their database. All our animals and all our shelters, Lake Isabel included, are in our database, so we know what comes in and what goes out. Ridgecrest is completely
different.
What
you stated to me was it's in the invoices that are sent over.
Yeah, it's not, it's obtainable.
Right.
It's just not something we currently track, but
okay.
We can definitely look into it.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Great. Anything else?
That's it. Thank you.
Okay. So then that concludes the staff announcements and reports. Next, we're on to F, petitioner announcements or reports.
Madam Chair, you need a motion to receive and file.
Oh, I'm sorry. So caught in everything. Okay, if I could have a motion to receive and file.
I make a motion to receive and file.
Second?
Oh, second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. Motion. All right, now on to commissioner announcements and reports.
We'll start at this end of the table.
Just that I don't have the actual number of animals right now with me, but I do know that since July of last year, our TNR program over there on the eastern side, we have spent just the money that we've raised and spent, we've done over $44,000 in trap, neuter, return, and release over there on that side of the mountain.
Wow.
Ooh, we have a very active group over there, and we are just kicking it. So, just so everybody is aware that we're doing it. And if anybody's over on that side of the hill and you want to volunteer, let us know. We need help.
Thank you. That's awesome.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, I do. As Jeff alluded, I did bring up the question of comparing the volunteer hours back over time last meeting. And I had an associate of mine that was nice enough to dig through a lot of data going back about 5 years. He passed some dinner place. On the hours and the comparisons on what kind of improvement we've made on volunteer hours. And we've got it by month, and then we've got the average per month. Just to give you an idea, in 2010, Average hours per month by the volunteers, 266 hours. And 2011, 390. 2012, 432. 2013, we back up a little bit, 410. Okay, so you see this is moving up slowly, but we get to 2014 and somebody got hired, made a big difference. We averaged from 410 in 2013, we averaged 824 hours a month, which is phenomenal. Already this year, just to give you an idea where Jeff's headed, he's really doing an excellent job, and I really commend all the volunteers. And that's the backbone of any organization, it really is, because without you people, we couldn't do the job that you do out there. Already for this year, just in 3 months, 4,380 hours, which is 4.5 times as much as the first 3 months of last year. That's so many hours that they've done already. So I want to thank my associate for putting all the data together, and I want to thank all the volunteers for making this happen. But I wanted to get an idea because I like to be able to compare month to month and year over year how we're doing, rather than, you know, kind of guessing at it. So we've improved quite a bit. So 4.5 times already this first 3 months versus last 3 months of last, the first 3 months of last year. But we doubled over 2013, we doubled it in 2014 as far as total hours, which is phenomenal. We doubled it. I wanted to also kind of go over the March report, but even though we've accepted and everything, I wanted to talk just for a minute about it. We're still making improvements. If you go to page 7 of your report, that's county, all incorporated areas of Kern County and the city of Arvin. Adoption in 2014 versus 15, from 700 to 716, so it's an improvement. Rescue, we're up, and that's over 100, which is really good. Return to owner. And the euthanized numbers are the ones I always pay the most attention to, but the return to owner, what Jeff said about really getting the word out on any kind of social media, that is probably one of the greatest areas that we could really, I'm not really sure how much room for improvement there is, but it's always a great idea, a great thing when an owner gets their pet back. So any increase in that area is great. Increased it by 49, which is 35% over last year. The euthanized numbers were higher by 5. The TNR was up. And the euthanized numbers are up a little bit, I think in part because the adoptions were, maybe not as high as we would have liked, but we had more intakes too. So that's always a problem, and I'm not sure what the capacity is over there, but that's kind of what happens. But bottom line, like I mentioned last month, and I'll do this every once in a while, live outcomes. If you go back to 2013, we were saving 40%, as I said last month. 2014, we got it up to 51.5, which is a 28% improvement. So far for this year, the first 3 months of this year, our live outcome percentage is 60.2. So that is phenomenal. That's 17% higher than last year. And going back to 2013, guess what? It's 50% higher. So if you go back to where we were, which was unbelievable amount of improvement over the last, year and a half, let's say. So I just want to thank everyone for doing what they're doing. And I can see this is like a tidal wave of synergies working together. Things are really picking up steam. And as our commissioner said, we can see a big difference in the attitude of the citizens and the people that are willing to help. And that really is so important. So that's really what I wanted to say. And I'll turn this back over to the chair. Thank you.
Okay, and then I just have one thing, an update concerning Nathan Winograd. As we discussed, we're planning on bringing him to Bakersfield. He has a film called Redemption that was based on a book that he released a few years back. And initially, California Federation of Dog Clubs was going to be the sponsor for this. However, in talking to Nathan, he's just received a grant that would cover a majority of his expenses to come down. It would also provide us with a litany of documentation, forms, CDs, all kinds of stuff that are included in his presentation. However, we need it to be sponsored by the commission, animal control, the supervisors, an entity that is governmental, basically. So at this point, I have contacted our primaries, Supervisor Perez and Supervisor Shrivner, and I'm keeping Director Cullen in the loop, and we will be working towards figuring out which venue we can have Mr. Winograd in, and hopefully we will have him here by the end of June. So that's the game plan at this point, and we will keep you updated on it as we move towards our goal of becoming a no-kill shelter. Okay, so that's it for commissioner announcements.
No, it's not.
No, it's not. Oh, I'm sorry. Started at that end. Okay, my apologies.
Just
no, no. Okay.
I don't know how that far that's going to go.
I just wanted to thank each and every volunteer for your dedication and your time. It's just, it's awesome and invaluable. Thank you.
Okay, Sue.
I'm sorry. And in that same light, you know, kudos to you because I can't be in there for very long. I start hyperventilating. The emotion, so you guys have got guts. That's all I can say. Also, I happened to run into a member of the city council last week. I was in his restaurant right before the Fleetwood Mac concert, and I said, you know, we've been trying to get numbers for the city animal control situation, and we've been having a really hard time. He goes, really? Have you talked to anybody? Yeah, we have. And anyway, just wanted to see if anybody's heard anything or gotten any feedback about that.
Director Cullen?
I have not.
No? Okay. Anyway, I put a bug in his ear, so maybe it will help. My next question is, when I was out there last week, I was shown an animal that was a cross between a sheep and a goat. Is that real?
Yeah.
And that really happened?
To answer your question, Commissioner, yes, it was real.
Okay. I even took a picture of it.
Not Jack Lobey.
Are you serious?
I believe...
The heat.
Was it on April 1st?
Well,
we
did have two animals come in around the same period of time. There was a geet. And then there was a sheep that came
right,
after that, so I'm not sure which one
of them. I saw one that he has more. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, I just wanted to share that with everyone
because it was.
That's all I have.
Well, thank you. Okay, that now concludes. On that note, we'll move on to old business. We have the staff referrals. Commissioner Blackburn, I think you just already had that conversation. All right, so that's covered. Number two would be the spay-neuter funds update.
Good evening. Who's on that?
You got it. There you go.
Is that on? Okay. All right. I am Blake Smith. I am the business manager, often respectfully referred to as the money man, or the money dude, or my personal favorite, the BDI bean counter.
I did not say BDI.
Yeah, great. Of course, I'm used to it. So, you know, every once in a while I need a laugh, okay? All right. But before I go on to this, I do too want to thank the all of the volunteers. There's just no way we could be accomplishing everything that we're accomplishing without all of your help and your time and your effort and your support, and I thank you. And in the back, we have a whole bunch of students here, And so if you guys have questions about all the silliness that we do here and all the funny things that we do, or why we bother to do some of the things that we do, feel free to talk to me. I'm more than happy to answer any questions for you, and I'm glad you're here too. I'm going to be talking about the... one more thing. Trisha's gone. I absolutely loved her term for babies, okay? I love that term. So, but tonight I'm going to be talking about the report I handed out, the spay-neuter, $250,000, fiscal year 2014-15, activity through today. As you can see, our total surgeries at this point are 1,879 surgeries. We are starting to see our low-income vouchers, we're starting to see more of them coming in. We started them in February. They normally have a 30-day expiration date, then it takes another month or so for the veterinarians to bill us. And so when we set this up, the biggest question I had is capacity for veterinarians. If we give out, we can give out all these extra vouchers, but can the veterinarians handle them? And we are starting to see a little bit of a bottleneck. We're starting to get a few more calls from people saying, my veterinarian, the veterinarian's not going to be able to see me until after the 30 days. We're saying, okay, make your appointment and let the vets know, and we're going to take care of them. So we're going to see how this we should know soon how that outcome is going to be. But we've given out 600 vouchers, something like that. And so they should be coming in. And so there's nothing else that I would say that is memorable about this. If there's anybody else that has any questions or something that they think I should point out, hopefully Liz won't catch any errors in my numbers like she did for other people. We're all good then.
Yep.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mike.
Mike's the best business manager in the world.
Okay, item number three.
I'm sorry. Oh, there's one more thing.
Okay.
I didn't mention this. Because this is important. We are in our ever... we are always expanding our efforts, trying to get more of these vouchers out to places, our low-income vouchers out to places where they haven't been available. We sent them out to Ridgecrest, and we only had one veterinarian out there who was willing to take us. So one of the people in the Ridgecrest City Shelter is issuing them for us, and they issued a voucher to someone who took it to a veterinarian who's not on our list, and so they took the voucher and asked to be put on the list. So now we have two veterinarians on the list in Ridgecrest, and a couple weeks ago, Interim Director Cullen and I went up to the Fraser Park Family Resource Center. They have been issuing our licenses for 3 or 4 years for us. And so now they are issuing our vouchers. And that's just, that's affected brand new. And we're hoping, I'm told there's a tremendous demand up in the Fraser Park area for our vouchers. And so we're hoping that this will meet the demand. And so, and we're also thinking about, we're looking at talking to the Button Willow Family Resource Center to see if they'd be willing to do it. And so we're trying to get the word out there and get people, make people aware of what's available and get venues for people in the outlying areas.
Yes.
Yes.
Now, that would be including McFarland, Wasco, and Delano areas as well?
Well, we are, We are going to keep moving, and one of the things that people just need to accept is that we're going to have to do this incrementally, okay? And it's interesting because, we couldn't even, 2 months ago, we couldn't even think about going to Fraser Park. We were so swamped. And then all of a sudden we went, we need to go to Fraser Park. We got in the car and drove up to Fraser Park, and we've been out to We started small. We expanded them from you had to go to one of our Wednesday night clinics, or you had to go to one of our clinics in the park on Saturday in order to even get a voucher. Now you can get a voucher anytime we were open, walk through the door. We took them out and we expanded them to our Mojave shelter. Then we expanded them to the Lake Isabella shelter. The next thing was to go to the Ridgecrest City shelter. And then from there we went to Fraser Park. And so we're going to do this incrementally, and we're looking at North County, and we're going to have to figure out how we're going to do it, but we're always looking for partners to work with. So right now it's real easy because we're working with the partners we've been working with all along. So we need to now start expanding the number of partners we have. Okay? I apologize.
No worries. Thank you.
Yes.
Okay, so now reminder number three, friends.
Oh, it's me.
You're up.
Just a couple things we currently have.
Okay, we did get the TV.
I'm sorry,
Judy Donnell, President, Friends of the Kern County Animal Shelters Foundation. Okay, we did buy a 40-inch TV, which got immediately installed and is apparently a hot hit with photos of adoptions and adoptable critters and events and everything they can think to throw up there for people to be viewing, which is great. We have our dedication at the Lake Isabella shelter. Thank you, Jerry, for getting us organized on that one. This Saturday, 10 to 2, if you're wandering around up by Lake Isabella, stop by. I think this is pretty much the final piece. There might be some landscaping eventually, but there's no water, so there's no point at this point. We built a 40-foot by 100-foot play yard up there that was cross-fenced at 30 foot, so there was a side for the public to be able to meet and greet a dog outside of the shelter, and the big side for the shelter animals to get out and get some fresh air. And then this year we put up I think it's 12 by 20 shade structure that covers parts of both of those sides. So that's been a couple of years that we've been working on that. And I have to say, all the funds that were raised for that were all raised up in the Kern River Valley. So it was all local money from the people up there for the shelter that services them. We have been issuing vouchers, and it's on my phone, and if I recall, it's 316 cats as of yesterday, this year, and 25 dog vouchers. Because we have been pushing people to the county or the city. The city has so many, because we want the municipalities to see that there is a need and people are using the funding, so they will continue to fund it, and we are backstopping for cats specifically, because hardly nobody does cats in the city, and for the people that just don't qualify for anything else, I always tell them to see Sue as well. So we've been backstopping that. And again, working with Basic Needs Foundation, who expanded to Wasco, McFarland, and Delano, as well as
05,
yeah, and up to and in the Kern River Valley. So we are helping them, reimbursing them at the voucher rate for the spay neuters that they're doing for people. So their money will also go further. And I think I mentioned this before, but save the date, Saturday, January, June 13, for Applause for Paws. We're still looking for sponsors and or donations of goods or services for our opportunity drawings, silent auctions. And Tara the Hero Cats can be there, so you gotta come see her. And that's all I have. I mean, we've been helping some of the other smaller shelters. I've been waiting on call for a little dog that's in surgery and down south today, so we've been working on that as well. Oh, and we did get the rest of the hooks. We got the rest of the stainless steel hooks for the water buckets. Finally came in.
Where's the plots going to be?
The Elks Club on Baptist Circle, H Street.
Thank you for helping the rural shelter.
Judy, did you hear?
Yes, I did. You're welcome.
Judy, one question. With Lake Izzy, since we're in the drought and everything, it may require a little more funding, but are you considering maybe putting fake grass in there?
We looked at that and it was ridiculously expensive.
I sounds like it's really, really hot.
No, yeah. They have some new ones that are specific for animals and stuff that won't.
Oh, do they?
Yeah.
And I think what we ended up putting in there was pea gravel.
Oh, that works.
So it could be cleaned up and watered down. And there is water inside, but it's just... We wanted to put up trees for one break, and it's just we can't water anything.
Just to throw in my own 2 cents, because we had to address the same issue with the grass in the play yard at the Fruitvale shelter. It was about 20 times the cost of natural turf.
Oh, I know.
The fake stuff. We were looking at almost $100,000 to install artificial turf.
Well, yeah, if you have the contractors do it. I found some last week for like 50 cents a square foot. It was super cheap. We're redoing our training yard. I don't know when, but eventually. All righty. So that concludes old business. We have no new business. So the only item we have left is adjournment until Wednesday, May 20th. Okay?
Yes.
Okay, hang on one sec. Hold that thought. Wait.
I just wanted to say, while we're recognizing volunteers, and maybe I'm the one, but I don't know if you guys realize it or not, but all your commissioners are volunteers.
Yes.
Thank you all.
Thank you.
All right, so adjournment, I need a motion. Do I have a second? And all in favor? Any opposed?